Now, a different lineup for our 9 to 10 hour through this election campaign. Yes, you may not have noticed, but there is an election campaign. Outsiders, they'll be here for the whole hour, off and on. This morning they are marketing strategist Toby Ralph, writer, comedian, editor Wendy Harmer, and economist Sinclair Davidson. We have a guest tweeter too, Sian Pryor, writer, journalism academic. You can follow that Twitter conversation using the ABCRN hashtag. Lots of big policy stuff to talk about this week. The economy, Vegemite, GST, and what about climate change? Whatever happened to that as a political issue? And of course, as the campaign goes for the vernacular, First Dog on the Moon will be in just before 10 with his patented political translator. Coming straight up, our first session with our outsiders, and it's gaffes and triumphs. Yes, indeed. Now, sometimes an election campaign can be more like Australia's funniest home videos. Stacks of gaffes. This week, we had a couple of doozies. Let's refresh our memory.
I don't oppose Islam as a country, but I do feel that their laws should not be welcome here in Australia. Less than 2% of Australians follow haram. Jews aren't under haram. They have their own religion, which follows Jesus Christ.
You're trying to twist his comments into the fact...
What's your surname, Glenn?
Daniel, why?
This is extraordinary. I've never experienced anything like this. Do you do this all the time?
And we have a plan. We have a six-point plan to make sure that we do stop the boats.
6 points. Could you run through them for us?
Well, I can run through all the details of the points, but look, the main thing is...
The six points.
Under Kevin Rudd, the boats...
There's 6 points. Turn back the boats.
Sure. Look, here's the thing. The boats started under Kevin Rudd.
Oh, the pain. Dear me. Our outsiders, Toby Ralph, Sinclair Davidson and Wendy Harmer. Wendy, what a fine collection.
Oh, it was like shooting fish in a barrel for those reporters, wasn't it? Absolutely spectacular belly wax off the old 10-metre board. You know, though, while these are always very entertaining and add the colour and, you know, fun and thrill, I suppose, to what can be a fairly long and tedious, when we talk long, I mean, January all this began, it also does raise the question about a candidates, the availability of candidates, and who wants to be a politician anymore. I mean, on one hand, we do decry the idea of the career politician, you know, who comes through the union movement or through business or through the party or whatever. And on the other, we don't have much time for these blow-ins as well. I think we are probably, and given the treatment that they get, I wonder if we are facing a sort of a candidate shortage crisis. Can I introduce some new idea into the campaign?
That's a scary concept, but I mean, it's a funny thing, isn't it, Toby Ralph? I mean, the necessities of modern politics, media performance, it's a hard thing.
It's hilarious.
And these poor folk get chucked in.
They do. I mean, you think of the poor James Diaz, who could only say stop the boat. So it's just because he's inexperienced. If he'd had a bit more time within the party, he'd be doing what the senior leadership of the political system in Australia are doing, and it's making it up the policy on the run.
6 points? I've got eight.
Yeah, 8 points. Yeah, we're going to incinerate them and send them to the Congo. And as long as it's sufficiently cruel, he would, people would say, oh, all right, that sounds reasonable.
But do they not get the training? I mean...
I think
it
not.
It baffles you.
I think, you know, it's the idea that they... he got pre-selected for a whole set of reasons.
That's another story itself, isn't it?
That is. But he clearly hasn't done his homework.
Sadly, Sinclair, Stephanie Bannister, the hero of that grab before, has withdrawn her nomination. We've seen some other casualties today, of course, who've also gaffed previously that Kevin Rudd's been forced to dispose of.
Yes, it does actually come down to pre-selection. And I think the people who have been dropped in the Labor Party for gaffing were sort of stopgap candidates who were appointed before Rudd came back. Now, political parties should not be putting up stopgap candidates ever. They should be putting up good people that we want to see in the parliament. And when you listen to all of these gaffes, you think, well, we're actually paying these people money. Mr. Bradbury, we're actually paying him a lot of money. He's a minister of the crown. At least the other two, we can say, well, they're inexperienced. They didn't do their homework. They're not that smart to begin with. We can make all those sorts of excuses, but no stopgap candidates are really acceptable if we think we want to have a good, solid democracy. We want to have good people.
I wonder where you think a happy hunting ground for candidates should be. Clive Palmer. Well, yeah, Clive Palmer is he's rather fond of your ex-footballer. I just wonder where we should be looking for these
despite
people.
Despite the Mal Meninga experience, for those of you who could recall his brief foray.
They could advertise in the newspaper.
Or you could just ask taxi drivers.
Taxi drivers.
A lot of them seem to know how to run the country.
But it's an interesting thing, though. I mean, when do we... That sort of behaviour is exactly, though, what the media wants out of an election campaign.
Sure.
They want to turn it into funniest home videos.
Well, as you were saying before, I mean, you know, the main problem here is these people actually gave actual answers when they had no need to do that. If they watch senior politicians, you have no need to answer anything. Mistake number one. But, yes, you talk about the idea of training. I wonder if anyone's got information when you get tapped on the shoulder, whether you go into, you go on to a weekend away or an afternoon with locked in a room, small room with a poly. What happens?
A bit of butcher's paper. Of course, there's one alternative to this, and that is to bring in the hardened and experienced hand.
I'm Kevin. I'm from Queensland, and I'm here to help. His name's Peter. He's from Queensland, and he's here to help as well.
Yes, we have had our differences, but it takes a bit of strength and a bit of guts from the Prime Minister to rise above that and say what's good for the campaign, what's good for Queensland.
A real example there, Sinclair, of new politics in action?
I actually know really old politics coming back. There's two views. I mean, that could be a masterstroke, or it could simply be reminding Queenslanders why they were so unhappy with the previous Labor state government. I suspect it's more of the latter than of the former, and what really interested me that straight away was that would mean they were actually going to have to throw Anna Bligh under the train. They were going to have to blame everything on Anna Bligh and not sort of sleet any blame home to Peter Beattie.
But that seems to be the Labor tactic. I mean, Kevin Rudd, for example, he talks about the previous administration almost.
Exactly. He does. And fair enough, too. That's what I'd do if I was in charge. I think Beattie's really interesting. Candor and a great big grin can get you a long way in politics.
Both of those.
He does indeed. And he was saying the other day, I don't know if you saw, he said, all of you know I've been humble all my life and that humility will continue. That was a great quote. But he's actually got a few problems. I mean, Labour have never been ahead in the marginal seats, in sufficient marginal seats in Queensland to win the election. So he's a bit of an unexploded bomb and high risk, but it could pay off. But he's got to get past the fact he's promised not to be a Polly again. He's never lived in that area. He has. He'll face all sorts of accusations about the sinecure he got in LA after government, fundamentally, it could be a triumph. It could be atrocious.
But he's also, Wendy, got to get past the fact that very publicly he's loathed Kevin Rudd.
Well, yeah, but I
but then again, who hasn't? I mean.
Yeah, well, you take a number. The interesting thing is, though, that I suppose it's like Bob Carr coming back, isn't it? Mm. I mean, it probably plays well around the rest of the country, but not, you know, on the spot where you have very dim memories of that person. And if we are running a sort of a presidential-style campaign, well, we have, someone who is in effect a VP, you know, and they look like, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, don't they? You know, I think it probably can play well, as I say, in the rest of the country. And this idea with Kevin Rudd and Peter Beattie hate each other's guts, well, actually not a lot of people really kind of know that. I mean, politicians know that, people in the press gallery know that, but perhaps not the public at large.
There you go. Peter Beattie. Will it work?